Welcome to this week's Embrace the Hate. I am Matt Nost.
I'm Rick Ingram. Legend. Simple. Pure, you know?
Get right to the point. If you've never listened, this is what you're tuning in for. Legend. Just flat out legend.
First time listener needs to know which one of us they should really be listening to.
You're dividing the crowd is what you're saying. I thought you were adding lore and luster to the show entirely, but you're just stealing that for yourself, you selfish prick.
I just think, you know, people need to know. Obviously, they should be listening to both of us, but if there can only be one.
Start with the compliment and then ultimately overhand right. Take him down. Take him down. I mean, we're both great, but fuck this guy is all I'm saying.
At the same time, you know. If you got to listen to 99% or to 100%, you got to go with the guy who's 100 all the time.
Oh, dude, how dare you, first off, try and say hundo, but then what, create your own cool version? Hunded?
Hunded.
Hunded. Hunded. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's a Darnell word, and I don't know that you can be using that.
I'm 100% pure original, and I say hundeds.
Well, it'll take off. Why don't you just start your own t-shirt, get a brand going, just hundreds at Rick Ingram.
Listen, there's a lot of people talking about branding lately. I myself have been, you know, talking to COVIDs and letting them know, hey, you got to start doing this better, man. You can't just be, you know, infiltrating everyone. You got to start picking, you know, who you're going to kill off if you want people to get behind you.
All right, so you're saying a death panel. You want some sort of overview role to help guide COVID to do its job properly?
Yo, I've been telling the 19s, like, look, we got to start really focusing. You know, dudes in sleeveless with handlebars, that's got to be high on the list. We need to start taking them out. Obviously,
it took you a second to come up with that. There was like a, you know, clearly, I would assume you would have already a bullet list that you keep in the back of your mind at all times. So this seems kind of lazy on your part.
They started with the Chinese, you know, smart. We can all get behind that. But then they started going after the Italians. Look, all I'm saying is the Italians in Italy are not the people you want to be killing off. It's the Italians on the East Coast of America that we really need to be focusing on.
Okay. Well, that's what, you know, as head of this death panel, that can be your job.
Yeah. Just trying to take this thing in the right direction. You know, yeah. Obviously it serves a purpose, but, you know, we just don't need it out there lingering around, you know, just taking out randos. Let's focus.
Is this your sales pitch? Look, you walked into the room. Guys, randos, what are we talking about here?
We're killing randos? We don't need, you know, innocent random people dying. I'm going to keep this strictly hunted. I'm trying to keep this hunted right here. Let's focus Italian-American men. Let's keep it to the East Coast right now. Have to be under 5'7". That's it.
Well, you might want to at least maybe start at a lower height restriction or something else just to winnow the field a little bit more.
I think a lot of these Italian American men are probably under the 5'7" mark.
I wish they had video. As he's doing this big blustering, he does the one finger push up on the bridge of his glasses. Anyway, yes, back to my death plan.
I'm scientific. Look, I got to keep my glasses low.
There you go.
Otherwise, it goes on the wound, and that hurts. So, unfortunately, I have to keep it low, and then it slides down even further. So,
what a pussy! What a fucking pussy!
Don't let the glasses fool you. I'm a jock, dude, through and through.
Straight hunted. I know that's what.
I'm not straight hunted on that, dog. You know how I do it. I'm in it to win it, bro.
Dude, I just see t-shirts instead of 100. It just says hunded over and over and over again. Just the same repeating 100, pattern.
100 times.
Perfect. And then you charge $100, which is actually $1,000.
Everyone knows that 100 is 1,000, period.
So don't come at me with less than 100.
Oh man, I'm full of hate. I just caught some of that SNL from home. Whew.
I didn't see. What are you talking about? Oh, so the performers are performing from home?
Yeah, I believe it's taped. But you know, everyone, you know, sent in, you know, a skit or so it seemed. I didn't finish watching. I just saw the first couple and it is good. I got to be honest.
Is it just individuals?
Yep.
So it's a one-off. They're doing some sort of zany character or something.
Yeah. Like, the depressed guy who's always trying to kill himself. He did a skit where he's, you know, he's pretending he's Drake. Hilarious.
Which dude are you describing?
The guy whose dad died on 9/11.
Oh, Pete Davidson.
Yeah. Okay. So Petey Daves is, you know, he does a funny song, a song parody. And, you know, I've heard people in the past say, you know, SNL, these, well, one, they're not great now anyway, but a lot of people talk about, like, would any of this shit be any good if they weren't dressed up as these characters? And the answer is no, they are not. It's pretty tough to just watch someone dressed as is doing a funny character.
Unsurprising that it didn't have any kind of effect on you.
I, you know, I'm pretty open to comedy and I like to laugh. So, you know, I've been told in the past, you know, I'm a good audience because I give, I'm a giver. But
I'd like to meet this one leprechaun, whoever this was, this misguided soul that's out there wandering the fucking wastelands. Like, you know, who's a solid citizen, the warmest fucking guy you'll ever meet in your life. It's got to be the Rictator. Legend.
The warmest is definitely a good nickname. I'm going to have to add to the repertoire. Rick the Warmest Ingram.
Yeah. Oh, man. His poor soul. Somebody needs to put him out of his misery. I'll say they view the world through the correct prism.
Oh, it was terrible. I'm just watching it like, why would they do this? And like, I understand them being like, hey, we should, you know, provide the people something and, you know, put a show out or whatever. But you know, just watching like Kate McKinnon's doing her Ruth Ginsburg, whatever that lady's name is, impression.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, yeah.
Yeah. But she's just dressed like, you know, an average lesbian sitting in her apartment. So it's, you know, it's harder to picture that's the character she's doing.
Yeah, that is. Ginsburg's got a distinct look. It's not much. A black robe of some kind, white frilly collar, and wig. And at least, even if the wig sucks, at least it's kind of you're building a character.
Nope.
Wow. None of it. I can't believe that was the choice. All right. What do you got? Anyway, so I got an 1860s prospector. Great. I love it already. So anyway, shows up to town. And just what? So he's just going to be wearing fucking blue jeans and some ironic T-shirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what we got here? You're like, this is terrible.
Yeah, just me as is going, I like beans.
Well, the problem is you could pass. So we got to choose somebody else. This hair right now with a little bit of facial hair you got going and the throwback glasses and a wound on the eye too. You know, that's a very in character. How bad is it?
It's not too bad anymore.
Swelling.
So I had to call my doctor because last week he was like, you know, the dressing that I stuffed in your nose, you know, that'll dissolve itself.
Yeah.
And so a couple of days ago, I was just like, I'm pretty sure it's still all there. And I just like felt this pressure in my face. Like, where it's just like, this doesn't feel right. It still kind of hurt, but I basically kind of felt like I had a pressure headache in my sinuses.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like trying to like, you know, use my cell phone flashlight and look up my nose. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can see it there. And so, you know, I called the office and I just go, hey, I don't think it dissolved. And he was like, well, you know, just spray some saline rinse up there and that should take care of it. And I'm just like, all right. So I tried, and after another day or two, I'm like, yeah, I don't think this is working. So they were like, all right, well, if you want, you can come in on Friday and, you know, we'll see you right at the end of the day. I was like, all right. So I go in and you can just tell the doctor thinks I'm an asshole in general, which is, you know, hard to believe.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you're the last of the day. He's already told you these things fucking dissolve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he doesn't know that I'm the warmest. So, you know, he probably just thinks, you know, I'm a jerk.
Yeah. But once you got the Hundeds t-shirt, he's going to know.
Yeah.
To walk in.
I told him, I said, look, dude, I'm keeping it Hundeds right now. I think there's some shit stuffed in my nose still. And so then he goes in and he gets his little scope out and he's like, oh, yeah, well, there's still some left. I'm like, yeah, I know. And then he's like, all right, well, I'll remove it. And he like sprays some numbing stuff up there, whatever. But all I'm thinking is like, bro, that shit's blocked by this bandage. But he gets in fucking, he's like, well, that's really stuck in there. I'm just like, sounds good.
Yeah. That's what you want to hear. Mechanic speak. What the fuck is this?
Yeah. So then he finally rips this thing, gets it, and then rips it out the nose. And this thing's like, and we're talking 2 units of the pinky finger worth of dressing.
Yeah.
Easily stuffed up in there. And he pulls it out. And he's like, wow, look at that. Huh? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I've been living with that fucking tumor in my face.
I've been feeling that for 2 weeks, Doc.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it looks like only maybe 10% dissolved. I'm like, cool.
Dude, your body is fucking something impressive, you know? It was fighting the bandage, apparently, and winning on some level.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. He was like, and then he's explaining to me how it happened. Well, what I think happened is, you know, you've got gray clotting, so the blood that was supposed to dissolve it just clotted quickly. And so, you know, it just didn't soak it and dissolve. And, you know, it looked like it absorbed some because at first it expands and it did that, but then it just never was able to dissolve. Just like, cool.
So that had to feel fantastic when that's out and you're like, oh my God, pressure completely gone. You just pulled what felt like a golf ball out of my fucking head.
Yeah, it was nice. It felt good. You know, and it took whatever the clot was, it ripped that out. So there was some bleeding afterwards. But, you know, as he said, well, it's, you know, been a couple of weeks. So it seems like most of the wound has actually healed underneath it while it was in there. Just like, cool, Doc.
Hey, if that's true, that's fantastic. And you'll be through the process even quicker now that you don't have this massive obstruction in your head still. So,
yeah. Yeah, it feels good. Like breathing today, I was like, yeah, you know what? That's nice. Being able to breathe air again. Not have,
not constantly be crying.
Not have someone's pinky stuffed into my nose, like, you know, some sort of a mafia crime.
What?
Stuff a pinky in his nose.
What kind of fucking books or movies or what the hell have you been watching? Oh, dude, he pinkied him. What? Right? It's like a mafia crime. Apparently you got Italian Americans on the brain this evening.
That's right. You cut off their pinky and then you stuff it up their nose. That's the oldest move in the mafia handbook. Everyone knows that.
Well, that's why chairman of this panel, you can introduce to COVID's, hey, we're going to go pinky method.
Yep. Always, you know, they get that dry cough. First thing you do, cut off their pinky, stuff it in their nose. So that way their final days are a little more painful.
Everybody else strives for the humane approach to take another individual out. But you do have to ask yourself, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
The inevitable is coming. Why not speed it up just a little bit more?
Well, again, we're not we're no longer giving it randomly to people, you know, under my leadership. We're going to make sure that the people who deserve the COVIDs get the COVIDs, and the people who don't deserve it don't get it. But, you know, again, we're still going to be hitting old people hard because I've never cared for old people. They've had their time and they used it poorly, if you really think about it.
Well,
terrible people, most of them.
You could be a pundit on Fox News whenever that discussion comes back when we want to reopen this country. Listen, I think they should die for their grandkids. Let's get him out on the front lines and have them doing all those jobs.
I do think it's funny, like the people I see on social media bitching about it. And like the other day, I can't remember what it was, but some older comic, an old Comedy Store guy is just like, our liberties have been taken long enough. Open up the beaches. It's like,
open up the beaches. I will die on this hill. Fuck that. This is America. I need to go to Laguna Beach.
This is bullshit. I can't go to Zuma and just hang out with all the other assholes who feel the need to congregate in public right now.
Well, that's fine. Put them with all the other assholes and just don't come complaining to us when you end up with a problem.
I like people complaining about churches being closed for Easter. I think here's what we do. We open up the churches for Easter, but you have to stay at the church for 1 month, no leaving. And if any of you get the COVIDs, so be it.
So then what? After a month, you open the doors again, then they leave, and a week later, they come back for church and be like, all right, here we go. Another month, guys. So let's go back.
No, what I'm saying is they go to church for Easter, then they're not allowed to leave. And then at least one person who's going to church has spread it to everybody. So after a month, we open the doors and there's just a bunch of Christian corpses inside the church. Problem solved.
Yeah, I think you found the name for your Swedish death metal band. So Christian corpses with your blonde hair, this facial hair. Fuck yeah, dude. You definitely play bass in that band.
You know, COVID-19 is a great name for a band, but you take it further and you go with the COVID Christian corpses, you know, Triple C, that's pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet. The logo on that is already nice. I like it. There's a lot of possibilities because you could like stack the C's inside of each other. So it's a smaller nesting doll type effect.
Yeah. The Chicago Cubs style.
Sure. Sure.
Just keep going smaller C's.
And then what you see within that too, those C's, there's those three and then three more right behind it. And it's part of this outline of a bulldozer just dozing over the countless people that you've chosen for the death panel.
That is nice.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful imagery that you put together there. And I just want to say thanks for keeping it hundreds.
It's not a problem. Well, that's actually the brand. If you look on the label, it's hundreds.
Smart.
Took the idea, might as well monetize it on top of it, you know? Somebody else to do that.
Oh, I just don't understand people. I mean, they just, you know, no one likes being in their house all the time, but at the same time, how many pandemics have they been through? They're acting like this shit happens every year. They're just like, we know how this is. All right, so let's just get on with it.
Yeah. I don't know. The only time it's been bad is like when we had the four straight days of rain.
Yeah.
Getting out to actually be outside to do anything, I was a little bit stir crazy, do as much as I can inside and out, but I still had to do some shit in the rain. No way around it. Like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Normally, I love it when it rains because it's so infrequent here. It's like, oh, look at that, break up the monotony of 350 days of sunshine. But when you're already kind of stuck inside, it's like, this is not fun. I'd like to get some fresh air, feel the sun, do something.
Yeah. The fun of the dog, like my dog, your dog is, you know, from Wuhan. So she doesn't care. She probably is down for a good outside in the rain, but my dog's a real prissy bitch. So She's just refusing to shit and stuff, but then scratching at the door every 5 seconds. And I'm just like, I'm going to fucking murder everybody more so than you.
The one time, where were you guys at? You and your wife at a wedding, and you asked me to stop by to give her a walk because we were going to be in the area.
Oh, yeah. We were in She's wedding.
There you go.
That's what it was. Yeah.
So it took me like 55 minutes to get her in her damn harness.
Yeah.
And then once she got in, she looked at me like, yeah, are we going or what? And you're like, you've been such a shy pain in the ass for almost an hour now. And now you're acting indignant. Like, I took her on the walk and she was fine, in good spirits the entire time, dropped her off. Like we didn't have this Mexican standoff for fucking almost an hour. Sweet dog. Just had anytime he got close to the harness. No, I'm out. This is not happening. And now I don't trust you.
Yeah, she's a bit much.
Well,
now an older age too. I feel like she's just kind of going crazy. So, like, she'll just walk over and scratch the door, and I'll let her out, and she goes pee, and then comes back in, and then like 2 minutes later, she's like, "Maybe we should go pee. How about that?" And you're just like, "Oh my god."
What if she's got bladder problems? She is a fucking senior citizen at this point.
Yeah. She is indeed. She's sleeping next to me now, happy, but every night there's like an hour of, I think I want dinner now, so I'm just going to be the worst dog of all time.
How old is she?
She's almost 12.
Yeah, I mean, that's old as shit for a dog.
Especially a little dog. Like,
yeah.
I think she's like at least a year or two past what the life expectancy is for this inbred breed of canine.
That's every dog that has a name is inbred to a degree that.
Yeah.
Like bulldogs, once I found out how many health problems there are, that's just animal cruelty. You need to crossbreed them and get them out of this because they live like 4 years, 5 years, and that's it.
Yeah.
Big problems and digestion problems and fucking joint problems because it's just the worst type of inbreeding.
I remember when I found out, like my cousins, I guess actually it's my aunt and uncle have it. It was my cousin's dog when they were littler, but they grew up and moved out, and my aunt and uncle kept the dog, but they had a English bulldog that I think was probably like 13 or something. But
what? Wow.
Yeah. For a solid 12 years of that, that thing was looked like it was dying.
Yeah. Just wheezing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just can't breathe.
Yeah. Almost like they have dressing stuffed up its nose that was supposed to dissolve, but it never did.
You know what? Congratulations to you for steering that back to how yours was way worse. Anyway, go right ahead.
But the entire existence, all that thing does just fart and smell terrible.
They are lovable, though. I mean, I understand the appeal, but it's fucking cruel. But just to listen to them, like, actively dying right next to you. Like, this is not fun for this dog. The tortured existence for 4 or 5 years. I can't imagine 12 or 13. Jesus.
Yeah, and then that was the kind of dog I wanted as a kid, just because, they're in cartoons and stuff. And so you're like, this is a cool dog. Looks like a gargoyle, just horrible face. But yeah, I remember I was probably 15 or 16 or something when they first got that dog, and then just farts nonstop, smells horrible. They're like the human trucker of dogs.
I think it's golden retrievers are the gassiest.
Really?
Yeah, I saw a chart of like the 10 most common animals that are just like crazy gassy. There's two or three dogs on it, but I want to say golden retrievers and labs were in the top 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a frightening reality if your dog is farting, I think. Well, the thing with the English bulldog I remember was that you could hear it. And that's always, to me, amazing. That something with a furry asshole can make noise. Well, seems like it defies the odds.
Yeah. Was there ever a time when you just gave it respect from afar? Like, that was a good one. I had to feel fantastic. Good for you. I'm not walking in that room for a while.
I do remember the first time I met it, its name was Clementine. I was like, man, that's cool. What a cool dog. And then like maybe 15 minutes before, it was just like, and you're like, oh, there was like a solid horn sound before like a standard fart sound.
Well, yeah, before it gets to disgusting, that could have been wet type of situation.
Yeah, very impressive.
Yeah, I don't think I ever like wanted a specific dog when I was a kid, even seeing the bulldog and all the cartoons and whatnot. I don't know that I ever had one stand out particularly. The best dog I've ever lived with is Grace, Freddie's old dog, the German Shepherd.
A German Shepherd, yeah.
I want a German Shepherd now just because of her. I had a dog growing up, but he was nowhere near as full on, just pure love as Grace was. She was awesome.
Yeah, that was a cool dog.
Yeah.
We had
loves you, but he's a little standoffish at times. I swear to God, she grew up in a house of cats because that's how she acts.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up with dachshunds and they were fucking terrible. I mean, I loved them because they were my dogs my family dogs, whatever, but so fucking annoying. Barking at everything, positive that they're not wiener dogs.
Yeah, tiny little things.
Where you're just like, you really think you're something. You have no idea that you're one of the funniest creatures that ever existed. Like every other creature on earth laughs at you.
It's not for the overt physicality of you should really realize how truly tiny you are. It's the fact that it doesn't realize how much of a joke it is amongst the universe at large.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of a single other creature on earth that doesn't get at least a nice smile when they see this stupid looking creature. It's like, why are you so long? That is terrible planning.
Well, now I'm trying to think of another one. There's got to be some like naturally cross-eyed animal, or what about that tiger with Down syndrome?
Kenny?
I didn't remember his name. I just remember his face. And it's one you'll never forget.
Well, I mean, I only remember his name because his name is Kenny the Down syndrome tiger. And there's that guy who worked at the Comedy Store, Kenny Lyon. And every time he talked to me, all I could think was Kenny the Down syndrome lion.
That'll do it. That's for damn sure. That will do it.
Nice kid. Not smart. You know, I mean,
like a lot of first kids that you meet, you think they go, eventually you hope they grow out of it. And some of them don't.
When I first met that guy, he walked up to the Comedy Store holding hands with Andy Dick.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, it wasn't like by choice. It was like Andy Dick grabbed his hand and now he's stuck having to hold Andy Dick's hand unless he punches him. And he was too scared as like a 21-year-old to just punch Andy Dick like everyone on earth should.
It's a hell of an introduction to someone. Like upon meeting them the first time, there are other ones like you meet the random people that show up and like come in and out, but you don't know their full story, or the homeless people that hang about.
Yeah.
That craziness is kind of routine as opposed to the first time I met you and you ended up staying in my life for a while with hands with Andy Dick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a terrible plan.
It doesn't seem as though he was the one that sat down and fucking orchestrated, you know, engineered this big massive plan to one day be in Andy Dick's, you know, sphere of influence and let alone maybe potentially hold his hand.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the vibe Andy Dick gives off, you should just know after like 4 or 5 seconds, like, I got to bail on this. I got to get out of this now, let alone, you know, you meet Andy Dick at the Laugh Factory and he starts holding your hand and then, you know, hey, let's go down to the Comedy Store. Yeah, let's. since we're holding hands, that's the perfect place to go. No chance of me being ridiculed for the next decade of my life because of it.
Well, you can't imagine that that's going to be the repercussion for this weird little anomalous thing in your life that, although once you walk in, you kind of have to assume that everybody's going to remember it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not like he set about saying, this is going to be my way in. And unless it was, then kudos to him because he got in on some level.
He was a weird dude. I thought he was Asian for like 2 years before. I think Pete was like, hey, he's not Asian, he's Guatemalan. So I was like, you know that Asian dude, Kenny the Down Syndrome Lion? And he's like, that guy's not Asian, he's Guatemalan. I was like, what?
Okay.
He's like, yeah, he's Guatemalan. I'm like, really? I'm pretty sure he's Asian. He's like, no, he's not. Are you sure? He's like, yeah, I drove him home the other night. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, that the Guatemalan guy who's kind of retarded. You got to right keep back the story into going.
It. The one that the first time I met him, he was holding Andy Dick's hand. You know what I'm talking about? That Asian guy. Yeah, I just remember him hanging about like the time he showed up to Dave's barbecue and we're all there and he got drunk and him being drunk in the back of the OR and just heckling. You know, back in the day when six people showed up all night and it was a Monday night.
Right.
Those are my like introductions to, although he is the type of guy, even if I didn't know who he was, if he wasn't Andy Dick and he just showed up, he gives off a vibe of, I will try and put my finger in your butt, like full on. And is with the most creepy smile on my face, enjoying the living shit out of it. Just upon meeting him. He's one of those guys that just, you don't trust.
No. No, I mean, I've met Andy Dick probably three times, and each time I'm just like, get this fucking dude away from me.
Yeah, he's a weird fucking guy. But then his son, Lucas, nice guy, really chill. Yeah. Like,
dude.
Yeah.
And the only guy I've ever met that changed his name when he got married. I was like, no. One day I saw a name on Facebook. I'm like, who the fuck is this? And I clicked and I'm like, is that Lucas Dick? Why is his name different? And I just sent him a message. I'm like, did you change your name? And he was like, yeah, when I got married, you know, it's like, I couldn't ask my wife to take the last name Dick. So I just changed mine to her last name. I was like, huh.
Wow.
Pretty weird, but also makes sense.
Yeah. I've seen him once in the past, like 14 months, 16 months. So it didn't really come up because we were playing basketball. We still talked, but him changing his last name, and it's not like he walked into proximity and his phone ultimately altered all the contacts in everybody else's phone as soon as like a fucking airdrop type of thing, which would be kind of convenient, actually.
Yeah.
But good for him. I mean, it had to be strange growing up as Andy Dick's son on some level.
Yeah, I can't imagine that his dad was you know, I guess I don't know the story. I just assumed if Andy Dick is your dad, you don't see him too often.
I don't think so. But just by the way he spoke about it, it didn't seem like his dad was – he was in and out.
Yeah.
We never had a heart-to-heart about it. Whenever he would recount something, you know, whenever I saw him a decent amount, though, like twice a week, sometimes three times a week for a few years.
Good basketball player, right?
Yeah, really good basketball player.
I just remember Mark and Eli and some being like, no, he's really good at basketball. And being like, really? That's so weird.
Yeah.
He's kind of a weird dude. And he's really nice. But just like in general, like I did La Jolla with him once. And so I spent, 2 days, quite a bit with him at the condo. Yeah. And then just nice guy, weird dude. You know, I think he grew up in like Pasadena or something. So he's like an LA guy. And most of them are pretty weird. But then Mark was like, yeah, he's great at basketball. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, he's one of the best players. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Lucas.
He's really fun to play with. Like good defender. He's willing to pass. He can create his own shot. He's surprisingly like athletic. He's got good hops.
Well, he's Andy Dick's kid. So obviously he's going to be a good athlete.
Yeah, well, clearly. But by and large, usually you can tell who you think would be are and who have an outsized attitude towards it and don't ever show up and whatnot. Like, I can think of 2-3 guys who think they're great, but then they play. Like, I don't want to play with you. You fucking suck.
Yeah. So it's like Lucas Dick is one of those guys who's really good. Richie Taylor, obviously the best.
He can shoot a corner three, and then Richie fucking cherry picks so hard. Like, he gives up. He does not play defense anymore, by and large. But so then he leaks out on offense, and it happens like 2-3 times in any game. He is already 20 feet out of everybody because he just stopped playing defense, just passing the ball, try and shoot a quick three before people get down there. He shoots a decent clip from three. It's not bad.
Mid-range game, though. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, he's got none of that.
All I care about is, like, to me, you know, Brandon Bass is the best player in the league because of that, you know, that 15-foot jumper.
That has been ruled out for people like Brandon Bass to shoot. Now only the top X percentile on any team are allowed to take those shots, and everybody else is like, no, no, no. You shoot threes or you shoot layups, but you don't shoot shit else.
Is that the general rule for the NBA? The mid-range jumper is not allowed because you're just wasting time?
For anybody that's not the number one, or like if a team has two solid number one options on, you know, to shoot, then they can shoot. They have the green light to shoot from wherever they want to.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if that 17% is a low 17 footer is a low percentage for the league as a whole. You're such a good shooter. Go right ahead. Cause it also keeps you in rhythm, and we'd rather have you missing than other guys shooting. And everybody else is like, dude, shoot a three or get as close to the basket as you possibly can. Cause we're not paying you, you know, the 18 footer, unless you're a big man and that's one of your specialties. Like, there are exceptions within that, but by and large, the rule is it's been phased out that every in a max player.
So you're like a mid-level shooting guard. You better be shooting threes. That's the deal.
Correct. Yeah. You have to be shooting threes and be able to finish at the rim.
So right.
Those are your two things. Unless somebody's the only one in the offense that does it and you're allowed to do that within it, totally. But if you're just another dude, no.
Yeah, maybe that's part of why I, you know, while I enjoy the NBA, you know, part of the reason that I don't is the lack of the 13 to 17 foot jump shot, which I really think is the most beautiful part of any sport ever, really.
What was the last NBA game you actually tuned in for? Is it a playoffs game? Does it have to be like on in the background?
I probably watched a decent part, like 2 or 3 quarters at least of, I don't know, maybe 10 NBA games this year.
All right. Not bad.
Just like random ones. Cause you know, there's so many guys who are really good that it's like, I tune in to watch. Like I watched, a Memphis game.
Yeah, John Morant is so ridiculously fun.
Yeah, just because so many nights when I was watching SportsCenter, they were like, you know, talking about this guy's the rookie of the year. And so I'm like, all right, so I tuned in. I watched 2 Pelican games after Zion came back because I'm like, you know, I want to see it.
Mark and I got tickets for that game when they came to Staples right before he got shut down.
Really?
Yeah, it was. We found out like 7-8 days before. It's like, it's official. He's being shut down. He's not going to make it back type of thing. We had just bought the tickets, and then he came back like 3 weeks after we saw the game. But it was right in the beginning of the season, which is when those guys, they're going to play. They're not hurt yet.
Yeah.
And the ticket was cheap, especially by LA standards. Because nobody, I don't know, next year it's going to be more expensive for sure.
Probably. Yeah. Maybe not. I really don't think people are going to be going to sporting events for the next year unless they come up with some sort of a vaccine or something. It's hard for me to picture people doing it.
Yeah. Well, there was a poll that was put out. I think it was done by Seton Hall that said 72% of Americans, although they only polled 692. So, how large a sample
size? Yeah, that's not a great sample. But
72% said that they would not attend a game unless there was a vaccine. And then another percentage of that 28 left over said they would do it. Maybe it was the rest of the 28 would do it if everybody did social distancing. But I don't know how you enforce that with, you're talking about half the capacity or a third of the capacity. So you're what, 4,000 or 5,000 people at a basketball game. And yeah, that's what gets stuck at the very top in the last row.
Right.
But I know the NBA, so there was an idea of doing, turning Vegas into its own little quarantine zone because they have enough hotels to cover and put a team in each one. They just don't have enough gyms to play in. So they're talking about maybe doing it in practice facilities and still quarantining off, so only the same amount of people. But I don't know how they would do it outside of a physical location. How are they going to travel around and play each other unless the pilots go on quarantine and everybody's going to come into contact with them, which could be done. But you'd be moving the whole team to every whatever city with a hotel, et cetera. It'd be tough to do.
Yeah, like I, when I read what Major League Baseball is thinking about doing, at first I'm like, that's dumb. And then I'm like, actually, that works out pretty well
yeah.
in terms of trying to salvage a season. You know, you have the teams who do spring training in Arizona all play their season in Arizona, and the teams that play in Florida play in Florida. But I mean, it definitely will be weird. I don't know how you do it in the NBA though, because there's not really any city that has
not
a bunch of small.
Yeah, Vegas is the best, but you'd have to use high schools, and you'd have to use the Thomas and Mack Center has two courts in it right there. It's where UNLV. Okay. So they've got UNLV men's, and then they have the women's, but it's attached all within one, like, you know, the area you walk around within an arena.
Well, yeah.
On one side of it, it just joins in with another gym type of thing. So you just walk this
right.
15 feet and boom, there's another gym right over there. But I mean, it's, or you just start the playoffs, give a bunch of the top seeds, a bye, and you could churn right. You know, that first round, maybe do best of five series. There's got to be a championship. They've already lost too much money. So they're going to try and solve it, even from the owners and the players' perspective. They want this to happen.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, they will play it out at some point. It just who knows when. I can't see the NBA calling it because they played enough of the season where they could get away with it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's what, 20 games left, I think you were saying.
Yeah, 15-ish. 18 max, yeah. I think, for any team, but 15-ish for everybody. That's, you've played enough, 65, 67, 69 games. Do we just automatically play 69 and they get a number one seed?
They did what?
I said, do we just automatically give anybody that's played 69 games a number one seed or a bye? Just like, you got to the magic number, high five, and just go
ahead. Hell yeah.
Take a fucking break.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would do. You know, I'm a huge fan of hilarious numbers like the 69. So, you know, I feel like if you played 69 games, you are the champion. Just give it to them.
That's perfect. That is beautiful circular logic. You know, this thing is great. And, you know, it's great what this thing is. Thank you for that. Oh man, once you sell it like that, I'm on board. All right, so 69 automatic winner.
Yep. And if you only played 68 games, biggest loser in the league.
Why not just change it going forward? First team to 69 wins automatically takes the cake.
I'm not even talking about 69 wins. I'm talking about playing 69 games, you are the winner. Win or lose.
Well,
what's our record this year? 0-69. Nice. That's how into Bill and Ted's philosophy I really am.
I hadn't even thought of the 180 degree. I was, what are you guys, 1-68? Like, well, we'll make it this fucking plucky attitude. No. They backdoored their way. So now it's an entire league of teams not trying to win as much as humanly possible.
You want to get that 0-69 for sure. The moment you lose a game, you're like, you lose that first game, you're like, all right, we're going for 0-69 this year for sure.
I don't know why you wouldn't have that from the goal from day one. It seems like it'd be the easier thing to do.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, these guys are competitive, so they want to be the team that's 69-0. But most likely, everyone's going to be the 0-69 team.
Well, then that also means if everybody else is going to be the 0-69, there is going to be somebody that's 69-0 because they're getting these easy W's left and right.
Yeah. Yeah, but then, you know, it's like there's the team who's 1-1, and then you just quit, season over.
How many fucking teams are there?
I believe there's close to 700 NBA teams. It's been a while since I kept track, but I believe that's the case.
Sure. You got the Poughkeepsie Bakers. They're great.
The Duluth Dugs, I believe, was a fake team that.
Yeah, it took you a second, but I like where we got to. So,
yeah.
Duluth Dugs. You know, your brain was. What are the Dugs or Duluth again? I don't know. Search that data back real quick.
No, that was Mark's fake team that he wanted to be the owner and coach of. And his coaching name, he was ripping off our buddy's dad, Doug Heidemann. And so it was the Duluth Dugs in honor of me, Doug Heidemann.
Did you not like him? Or just the name Doug to you, or Mark rather, struck him as just too good?
He was Mark's next door neighbor. Okay. And he was like the dad who was just like all of his sons had to be the quarterback.
Sure, I know.
Both of his daughters had to be the best grades. And I think one of them was like the goalie for the soccer team. And the other one was class president. And all the Heidemanns were headed in the right direction until the fourth kid. And he was just, you know, a real zero compared to the other kids in the family.
Well, there's always going to be the black sheep, especially in an overachiever family.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, he had some great qualities. Like the fifth kid got beat up a lot by the two sisters were the oldest. And then Josh was our friend. He was a year younger than me. And he actually was the quarterback. So he was living up to things. Mm-hmm. And then Noah was the next one. Not bright, not great. I think he was a wrestler or something, but he used to beat the shit out of the youngest kid with a wiffle ball bat a lot. And that was a quality I really respected. Like when you see a kid who's like 14, just swing a wiffle ball bat as hard as he can and just smack his brother in the face and the arms and the back. You're just like, man, this kid gets it. That's winning right there.
I can just hear that thud too.
Yeah.
Hollow bat as it swings around and just hitting just a big thing of meat.
Yeah. Cause there's that sound of it cutting through the air and then just that hollow thud of just like the, ooh, that's brutal.
I heard stories about those kids, but none of my friends or anything had, any shit like that. My brother twice, they beat me up in front of my friends to make me cry. But it only happened twice. So that's at least something. He could have done it pretty much whenever he wanted to at a certain point, and he only did it once. I think I set him off, and another time he just fucking did it.
Are we talking the 80s or the early 90s?
80s.
Yeah, and that's really what the 80s were all about. It was just your brother really embarrassing you at least a couple times in front of your friends so that your friends knew that you were beatable.
that he was the king of the jungle in this house.
Yeah. The you ain't shit beat down is really some of the best beat downs in American culture.
Well, it's a one-sided affair to say the very least. There was nothing I could do.
How much older is your brother?
three and a half years.
All right. So enough that it's not ridiculous to where you're just like, that's uncalled for, but all at the same time, enough that you didn't really stand a chance.
Yeah. Enough that he always had an advantage up until like the age of 14 or 15 type of.
Yeah.
The 3 years was just too fucking insurmountable.
Yeah.
Oh man. One time I was having a pillow fight with my friends, one of the two, and he
gayest thing I ever heard, but go on.
Thank you. So he, one of his pillows was a down, like a feather pillow. And that if you stuffed it down on one end, now you're compressing all that. And he comes in whipping it around and just fucking like Thunderdome style and just right hand and boom. And I went flying and I came up and I was like crying and he laughed his ass off and just walked out of the room.
Classic.
I learned. So then,
did you and your buddies then go right back to sucking each other's dicks? You fucking weirdos. Pillow fight. What were you guys in a sorority? Unbelievable.
Well, at the age of eight, yes, nine, something like that.
Yeah.
Once had a fucking pillow fight with any of your friends.
I don't think so.
Wow, dude, I did it with a number of different ones.
I bet you did, you fucking ninny.
Nitty, you motherfucker.
Some real Nancys over there in your neighborhood.
Yeah, well, you've already accused me of some serious stuff, and then to come in with the sugar-coated insult, it's choice, you know? Not a lot of people know to deliver after the crushing blow. So sprinkling some salt on the wound is much more effective.
Yeah. Yeah, pillow fighting. That's taking it to the next level.
I'm just shocked you never did it once.
And yeah, I don't recall. Like, I think maybe my siblings and I did it, but to take it with the friends is really.
I know. Go ahead. What else you got?
I mean, were you guys just twisting each other's nipples and sucking buttholes, you fucking losers?
Dude, you know what? If nobody's out outside your place, go take a victory lap. I think you deserve it.
Good call. Good
just
call.
Out there pumping your fists, kind of rocking style. Just living it up, bro. Just living it up. Yeah. take your laptop with you. We can see you. So the show will go on. It's fine. We can. I'll be the surrogate for the crowd, for the those listening, and I'll cheer you along.
Arms wide open, just embracing greatness.
Oh, you want me singing Creed? With arms wide open.
Damn. That was a pretty good Creed, man. You ought to consider starting a cover band at least.
By pretty good, you mean fucking excellent is what you mean.
I mean, Scott Stapp, he might as well, you know, grab his pillow because there's going to be some dick sucking going on tonight.
I don't know. He seems more like a sucking butthole type of dude.
Yeah, no doubt. That was actually the first name of their band before they were like, maybe we should change this just for branding purposes.
Was that when they were SUB for or SMB? I'm trying to think of some sort of abbreviation for sucking butthole. Subu?
That's not bad.
Yeah, but then Subaru stepped in and slapped them with a copyright, even though it was close up, they knew they tie him up in litigation for years and the band couldn't afford it, so they changed it.
Subaru was just like, it's too close, man.
Yeah. We have
gotta
lawyers. We're on retainer, you don't, so just change it.
There's got to be a way to fit sucking butthole into the letters of Subaru. We could do this. We'll figure it out. Give us time. By next week, we're going to have five or six Subaru sucking on butthole.
You set a goal for yourself and they instantly just obliterated that goal. We'll get to it when we get to it.
Yeah. I'm not putting pressure on myself to come up with something good tonight.
Initially, you were. I was surprised. It seemed like you were going to put a distinct timeline on this. Guys, we should really band together and don't
listeners,
against this listeners, if it takes us 6 months.
Haters, all the listeners out there, come up with some good Subaru butthole references. You know, we're counting on you. I'm not going to spend my time doing it, but you guys are at home there's a quarantine or whatever, and it's time to come up with some ways to ruin Subaru forever.
Yeah, I think that's what we're trying to get to. I didn't realize we were going to be hurting Subaru in this equation, but all right.
One of my favorite things about Subaru is that I knew a kid in, I think it was high school. Yeah, it must have been high school, who was fully convinced that Subaru was an Australian company because of the Subaru Outback. And like him saying it one day, something like, why don't more countries make cars? And we were like, what are you talking about? He was like, well, Germany makes cars, and Japan makes cars, and America makes cars, and Australia makes cars. And then we were all like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah. And we're like, well, what car is Australia making? And he was like, Subaru. And we're all like, I'm pretty sure that that is not an Australian company. And he was like, the Subaru Outback? And we're all like, smart kid. Definitely a bright.
Sure. This is the Subaru Dundee.
Yep. The Subaru Crikey.
The Subaru Walkabout. The Subaru Dickeridoo.
The Vegemite. There's a lot of cars in this company.
They got a hell of a line. And we haven't gotten to their offshoot, the secondary brand, kind of like Lexus's to Toyota, which is Aborigine. And once you get into the Aborigine line, dude, it just goes for days.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the Scion, you know? No one is proud of those cars.
Is that how that's pronounced? I thought it was Scion.
I'm pretty sure it's Scion.
I don't think that you're right.
Look, all that matters is...
Was Subaru you? Was this just a big ruse, Mr. Scion?
Look, this was all just an attempt to try and bring up the Scion-Scion battle that's been waging in America for years.
And yet, you're the first combatant on the other side. I think you guys have been defeated. I've never heard... anyone call it a Scion? I don't know that they're advertising to a Scion.
I'll tell you what, when this whole pandemic is over and the Scion car club is meeting in the Target parking lot in Granada Hills again, we're going to get to the bottom of this. You've never seen a bigger
six
car.
Guys from the fucking valley really put their minds together.
Seven dudes with the biggest spoilers you've ever seen on non-sports cars.
That's just your hair right now. I mean, that thing can catch so much wind. You do have a convertible, right? You just let that feathered little ducktail back.
I removed the windshield so that I can drive. Like,
just gritting your teeth, eyes wide the whole time. Trying to catch bugs.
How do you think I got the stone in my fucking tear duct, bro?
Are we sure that was, you know, that wasn't like a dragonfly in your nose or something? It just had compacted and all that was left, you obliterated the abdomen and just the thorax was hanging out the back and he yanked it. 10% dissolved insect.
Very possible. I'm not going to lie. It might be a grasshopper and or a bad omen and I have a locust in my nasal passages.
Now, are you growing your version of a beard or are you actually shaving the goatee Fu Manchu so you get that facial hair?
No, this is naturally how my facial hair grows. The Homer Simpson is all that shows up on my face.
Yours naturally grows white trash is what you're saying.
Yeah, it literally is just a circle. That's it. I get about maybe 20 hairs in this region. I get about 15 hairs here.
So like 15 on sideburns, 20 was on the throat, right across the throat.
Yeah, the throat. I mean, no actual sideburn. I mean, we're talking, I'm going to be 39 this month and I get 15 hairs here.
I'm the same way. I get sideburns.
I get like two or three in this area and that's it. And then just a nice thick circle right here.
The Scandinavian butthole right there. Just
the Scandinavian butthole is probably the best description of my facial hair I've ever heard. Yeah, it's brutal, man.
Yeah, I just can't do sideburns. I can do all the rest. So everything else grows in thick. So
you get hair like here?
Yeah, I'll grow it through, you know, pretty thick through. It thins out as it gets closer and closer to the sideburns, but everywhere else grows in. I don't know if my dad can grow one, though, because I've never seen him really let it go beyond 5 o'clock shadow type of thing. He's a constant shaver.
Yeah, my dad's growing his facial hair now for the first time. And he literally, before my surgery, I had let it go. And it was basically where I am now. And he was like, "Are you growing your facial hair?" I go, "Yeah, we're all in quarantine." So he was like, "Oh, I'm going to grow mine out." And it's the most he's ever seen. And his is exactly this, too. Where I'm like, all right,
is your brother doing it? Just get all of you on board.
Well, he said my brother's not doing it because he still has to work and he still has to do like Zoom meeting stuff or whatever. But my brother can grow full facial hair. He got my mom's dad's ability to grow facial hair. So he could grow a beard if he wanted to, but he doesn't.
Yeah, I just want one time to have a full beard just to experience having a full beard. Just once. I don't really care.
Just to know what it's like to be a man and put your pillow fighting days in the past.
Oh, dude. Or step up. And now I'm like a bear in the pillow fight, you know, just to my life.
God damn. You mean the king of the pillow fight?
That's right. Hey, you could be off on the side announcing. Here he is, the Scandinavian butthole on the mic tonight. Just you're giving us the play-by-play on the fucking bear pillow fight.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I'm never going to – I honestly don't think I could live to be 100, and there's no way I'm ever going to grow enough hair here to connect into a beard.
Yeah, if it hasn't happened at this point, it's never happening, unfortunately.
Sorry, my dog is awake and – walking around like she's about ready to scratch at the door like a real asshole.
Yeah, I got to take mine out eventually, but she'll wait. Like, if she doesn't get walked through all these rains and stuff, we could only get her out maybe once a day. It was kind of tough. She has no problem. She can just chill out until the next time.
Really?
Yeah, but the thing is, when that happens, she's guaranteed to poop at least 3 times, but sometimes 4.
Yeah, well, that's nice. Yeah. Get it all in one shot.
Saves it all up, but now, so we take her out twice a day, and you're guaranteed at least one movement, but you usually have 2 for the morning and for the evening. So she gets it out.
Dude, you're smart to get one of them immigrant dogs that's constantly scared that she's going to get deported. So
you don't think she's constantly scared of being eaten? Just especially now that we're in post-apocalyptic times.
Well, now that China has changed their terminology, they're now pets and not livestock. That's exciting for the dog world because that means people are going to be eating pets over there.
Yeah, it's not going to die just because they changed. It'll probably more than likely slowly get phased out because this generation of kids and whatnot, you know, will fewer and fewer of them will do it going forward. But yeah, in 6 months, there's still people going to be eating whatever the hell they were eating before. It's going to happen.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah,
I just because they said that it's from people buying bats or creatures that were bitten by bats or something. I just Googled Wuhan eating bats and some nice pictures and videos came up. And I'm like, God damn, that is a frightening looking bat, like some large ass bats that people are buying and eating.
I've seen video of. There was this guy that I stumbled upon his YouTube channel, and he's now he's a U.S. citizen, but he's living in China. So he was just doing all these, hey, I'm going to this today and take him out, like these big electronics kind of markets. And then I found it because he upgraded the it was a video about like upgrading your storage in your iPhone. And he went through and went to the place that had it and whatnot and went through the whole process. And it was interesting to watch because I saw his channel. So I was searching through his other thing and then YouTube will suggest whatnot. And there was somebody else with their own channel, the same thing, former U.S. citizen or big, potentially still U.S. citizen, but living there.
Right.
And he put out a video and was like, it was a while ago saying, look, people are going to say, sorry, I got to fucking fly. People are going to say that nobody eats dog here anymore. But he was like, here's video of me in numerous different provinces over the course of the 3 or 4 years that he lived there. And he just never put the footage out. And he's like, here, I was in this prefect or whatever it's called. And we were in this city. And one he was at where the town of X number of millions of people or city. And it was this place that this video shot at is a block and a half from, in essence, this town's version of Times Square type of thing. And the video, and this is dog kind of, I've seen sides of beef in other countries where you, it's rib cage, like fully exposed. You walk past the butchers and this butcher had a dog where you could tell they cooked it in its skin and just all the hair's gone and whatnot. And it just flayed open right over the middle as part of his wares. And you're like, holy shit. So it's still going to exist, maybe just not as open, but.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, you know, who are we to judge? You know, I'm not the type of person who judges others. You know, I'm just very open, very warm, as we've discussed. And I'm not going to judge someone for eating dogs, but at the same time, pretty fucked up, bro. You know, eating that.
Do you really care?
What?
If there wasn't cross-species contamination and all that, what difference is it? Is it a dog or it's a cow?
None.
Yeah.
I fully don't honestly care about that. Like, if someone were to eat my dog, I would be pissed. But
of course.
At the same time, it's like an animal is an animal, I guess.
Yeah.
And like a dog is a mammal, so I guess that seems more on par. Like, bats seem weird just because bats are fucking weird to me.
Yeah, but a bat's a mammal.
Yeah, I guess. But they just seem – it's like – to me, eating a bat is the same as like eating a possum. And there's plenty of people eating possums, but that's fucking weird. I don't want to eat a possum. I don't want to eat a bat.
I think – well, a possum's more of a scavenger eater, so that'd be my biggest problem with a possum. It's just like, dude, the amount of bacteria and shit that probably lives in their mouth, the thing's a fucking biohazard. I can't imagine it tastes good.
Right. So you're saying you would eat a dog, but you wouldn't eat a coyote, and I respect that.
Yeah, I don't. I would, given the choice, I assume the dog is going to taste better because it's had a cleaner fucking diet, whereas a coyote is going to eat whatever the fuck it's going to eat.
Well, I mean, realistically, I think every dog in China is probably in that coyote zone. But
I feel like that's a missed opportunity from Kenny Loggins. You know, there was danger zone and then there's the coyote zone. And the coyote zone is a little more attainable for all of us in our everyday lives. Oh, it's a good PSA. Coyote might have gotten us into this COVID situation.
I'll tell you right here and now, I am 100% in the coyote zone. So don't fuck with me, all right?
It doesn't have the intimidating flair that you're trying to use it for. That's the problem. Oh, dude, he is full coyote zone right now. Like, not really striking much fear in my heart.
I got bit by a homeless guy. All right. This dude is in the coyote zone, bro.
All right. Now you're getting closer. All right. That seems coyote zone-ish. Sure. This guy tried to attack my little toy dog. Okay. He's coyote zone. Sure.
All I'm saying is this wound on my arm is going to be festering soon. All right. He is homeless. That is 100% coyote zone.
I think you're at stage 5 coyote zone or something, whatever the buildup, or is it like DEFCON and it goes down? So you're stage 1 and that's the worst there is. Oof. He's got stage 1 coyote right now. So I'd steer clear of that.
Dude, I tweeted something the other day about has anyone seen or know what Boone Shakalaka is up to?
Oh, I think I saw that.
She's like, Corinne was just like, what do you think Boone's doing? And I was like, fuck, I don't know. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Not just because, dude is a street drifter, but also just like he survives basically as a walking thrift store. And yeah. I mean, the market for that has got to be over, right? Like no one is – one, letting him get close enough to sell them something, but two, true, he was buying fucking.
Well, and also, he was getting that stuff. He was stealing it wherever he was stealing it, and those places aren't open. So he has no cares on top of that. Unless, I mean, if he managed to get his hands on fucking hand sanitizer, isopropyl alcohol, people will go within 6 feet. Lysol wipes. I don't know if he's, Boone's not dumb. So my guess is he's keeping an eye out for those type of goods.
Sure.
From his supplier in Phoenix.
Right. Clorox wipes dealer.
Well, so anytime you ask him, dude, Boone, where did you find an Oak Ridge Boys tour shirt in a double XL? Just like, well, you know, I talked to one of my guys, and you're like, all right, who is the guy? And it just keeps kind of whatever. Eventually, it goes back to, do you know the click clacks or something?
Yeah,
one of his
talks. I didn't steal it. You didn't steal any stuff? No, I didn't steal any of it. Who did? The guy that works for me. Oh, right. Forget you're an employer. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
So some dude was like, oh, I saw Boone yesterday coming out of one of those hotels near, where did he say? It was near La Cienega and Sunset. He said Boone.
Part of his turf.
Walking out of the hotel and immediately was asking him about click-clackers and all that, the standard nonsense. You won't, and he said, oh, that's what he said. He said the guy, Boone Shock, turned to him and he goes, you don't got the virus, do you? It's like, calm down, Boone.
Yeah, if any of the two of us in this equation would be more likely to have it. I couldn't even fathom what he's doing. Because, you know, I mean, more often than not, he'd have a wad of cash. They were all like singles and shit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he saved away money for a rainy day, but maybe he had a couple bucks when he saw all this coming and is just at a shelter and leaves during the day type of thing. I don't know. He's managed to survive this long. I'm not concerned technically.
Yeah. I mean, my first thought was like, before that guy said he saw him in Hollywood a couple days ago, I was like, maybe he went home to San Bernardino for now. He's just staying with family or something, but.
Is that genuinely where he's from?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, he's a graduate of San Bernardino High School. I would kill for Boone Shock's yearbook from high school.
Oh, what year do you think that is? 66. You think he's in his 50s?
I think he's in his late 50s, probably. Mid-50s, maybe? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Hard to guess his actual age. I mean, I don't even know what race he is. I assume he's black, but I don't know. His love of Soul Train is the only reason why I think he's black, I guess. I should clarify.
Yeah, I think he is. That's my guess. But I don't have the slightest clue. I don't even know what his real name is. It's always been Boone.
I believe his real name is Floyd Cornelius.
All right. I've heard that. Maybe I didn't realize it was in passing or something. But
yeah, I think Ari, because Ari like actually hired him to make some video for some company or something, and he had to fill out paperwork. And Ari saw his driver's license and then told us. And then Boone was so mad that we all knew his name. Every once in a while, I'll go, well, Floyd Cornelius. And I go, that's not my name. I go, who said I was talking to you?
So I tried to prepare Catherine the first time she was going to meet Boone. Just as a setup, like, look, he is completely harmless. Of all the randoms that hang up here, he's the only one that I genuinely like. Like, Boone is fine. And,
yeah.
You know, he can be very entertaining. We're both enjoying this, not I'm laughing at you type of, you know.
Situation. Right.
Sometimes I am laughing at you, but you are going for that anyway. And it was at the Christmas party. And I know you and Karim were there because we were at the same table for a while. But Boone was on stage and he whips around at some point. And he's got like this thong on, but it's pulled down to his pubes are coming out the top. And everybody gasped and laughed and just didn't know how to process the moment in itself. Cause we've known Boone for years and I've never seen Boone's pubes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never. It's never happened. I've seen Boone do a lot of weird shit, but I've never seen Boone's pubes. And this is Catherine's. Boone came over. Oh, it's just your wife? And just fucking, I introduced Boone. And it's talked for however long, 30 seconds, 2 minutes. I have no fucking clue. And then he scouted off to go do whatever the fuck Boone does. And then he got on stage later on. He was singing some whatever, like, it's your birthday, Mr. President type of vibe, but it was a Christmas song.
Just, yeah.
He does that 180 twirl, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God. Boone's fucking pubes. Imagine the smell. I am so glad that I'm in the back of the room sitting, because the fucking first couple rows just permeated with Boone funk.
What are you talking about? It smells like lavender down there.
Yeah. And fucking Catherine. Catherine did the same thing. Covered her mouth, gasped, and just started laughing because you can't, don't know how to fucking process. You're seeing a 50-year-old man's pubic hair.
Ugh. What a beautiful man. Oh. He's so funny every time. Where's Eli? I go, Boone, we've gone over this 3 or 4 times. Eli lives in Connecticut. Where? Connecticut. Connecticut? Yeah, Connecticut. Where's that? Chicago? No. Connecticut is a state. It is? Yeah. Where is it? I go, it's in New England. Oh, is it close to London? You know what? Never mind.
You should have just said yes. And when he said, is that Chicago? Been like, yep. And no problem. It's all over. He's fine. He's already forgotten the information again.
That's right, Boone. Connecticut, Chicago, and Connecticut, London. Both of those are correct.
All right. You want to talk about forgetfulness? I've met Galern 35, 40 times. No joke. I think that's underselling it. And for, let's say it's 40, 38 of those, he introduced himself as if we had never met in our entire lives. And be like, dude, and eventually I was like, you gotta stop smoking pot. I don't know you that well, but I have met.
That's on brand for him. Just not knowing.
Not even kidding. He's done it. Teeb's been with me a couple times. So much so that Teeb is like, dude, you've met him. You've met him 20 times. I've been here for a couple of them. And he's just like, oh, really? Okay. How you doing? How's things been?
Dude, the first decade that I knew Galern, it was like when I first met him, not a lot of people smoked pot at the Comedy Store.
Okay.
And so I was one of the only people who always had pot up there. And so when he first started showing up, I think Jeff Scott was like, oh, have you smoked Rick stuff? And he was like, no, let's go, bro. And so I smoked him out. And then every time I saw him for like a decade, he'd be like, Ingram, get me high. And I'd be like, all right, man. And so I'd smoke him out and whatever. He's a funny character.
Yeah.
And then the last 5 years or so, it's every single time he'd say something, Ingram, are you going to get mad if I smoke? And I go, no, dude, I don't care. Like, Ingram, have you ever been high? And I'd be like, I go, dude, I used to get you high 2 or 3 times a week. No kidding? Here? And I'd be like, yeah. Wow, that's crazy, man. And so you smoked? Like, yeah, I smoked. I literally got you high all the time. Oh, man, good for you. It's like, okay, man. Good for me.
Good for you. You're making the right decisions as far as he's concerned, so of course good for you. A high school buddy once. So we all started smoking pot in high school and doing some other psychedelics every once again in high school type of thing. Plus drinking. You know what I mean? I had fun in high school. But a buddy of mine kind of stepped it up another level in college. And he lived in Colorado, and I went out to visit him over my spring break, 2 straight years, just to go. We go skiing a couple days and just hang out and fucking, I don't know, hang out in Colorado. It was way cooler than where I was at.
Yeah.
Happy to go. And then, like 2 years later, he's like, dude, you got to come out sometime. Like, are you fucking kidding me? I slept in your dorm room on the fucking floor for a week. You don't remember that? That happened? It was like 2.5 years ago, man. Except for 7 days. Oh, and then you show him pictures and you're like, oh, yeah. But I don't think he remembered a single fucking second of it.
Just, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. It's one thing for just passing fucking introductions. But Scott, come on.
There was this dude when I went to College of Santa Fe named Colin, and everyone called him Casual Colin because he had this yellow T-shirt that said Casual Colin in like blue cursive on it. And he would wear it 3-4 days a week. Like you'd always see him. And this dude was just wasted 24 hours a day. And so it's just like, obviously he just never got around to changing. I'm thinking a lot of times he just hasn't been back to his dorm room for a solid 3 days.
Yeah, believable.
Yeah. And so I'd see him. He was from Minnesota. And so like he had a pretty thick Northern American accent. Whereas like sometimes he sounded Canadian, especially if he was really wasted.
Sure.
And but I'd always see him and I'd be like, Casual Colin. And he'd be like, shit, bitch. And I'd be like, this dude. He was basically like Minnesota Jason Mewes. That's the only way I could describe him.
Well, that's a very specific.
Yeah.
All right.
So fucking retarded, basically.
Sure.
So I saw him a couple times a week for that semester that I went to the College of Santa Fe. And then me and my friends there would always make fun of just what a fucking wasted idiot this guy was. So I transferred to KU and, you know, I went like Eli and I went, I think it was spring break my freshman year of college. So I went to College of Santa Fe first semester, second semester I transferred to KU. Yeah. And that spring break, Eli and I decided we didn't have anything to do for spring break. So he was like, you have any friends in Santa Fe that we could go crash with? I'm just like, sure. So we drove to Santa Fe and the plan was to go there for a couple days and then go to Grand Canyon and just camp in the minivan that I was driving around. And so we got to College of Santa Fe and their spring break was the week before ours.
Okay.
And so everyone was going to be getting back that first weekend. And it was like, all right. So some people said we could crash with them or whatever. So we got down there and no one was back from spring break yet. Cause it was that crossover weekend before they all back or whatever.
Yeah. They're going to get back on Sunday.
Yeah. So we get there and I think it was the Sunday and their class all started the next day. And it was like the first day of our spring break. And so people were getting back or whatever. And we were just kind of hanging out and we saw Colin and I'm like, oh shit, that dude, he is fucking wasted all the time. We probably, you know, party with him or whatever. And so we see him. I'm just like, Colin, what's up? And he's like, shit, what's up, man? I go, nothing, dude. How are you doing? I'm good, man. You got your, he goes, you got your key to the dorm room? I go, no, man, I don't go to school here anymore. And he was like, what? And I go, yeah, I haven't gone to school here for 3 months, man. Oh shit, bitch. Fuck, wait here. I'll get us in. And I'm like, all right, man, whatever. So we're just kind of standing by the door to the dorm room waiting. And then we just hear glass shattering. And I'm like, the fuck was that? And then like maybe 20 seconds later, the door opens and Colin is standing there. And I go, dude, what was that glass break? And he's like, I didn't hear any glass. I'm like, all right. So Eli and I walk in and we walk into like the commons area of like that floor of the dorms.
Yeah.
And the window is just clearly kicked in. There's just glass broken all over the floor. And I go, did you break that glass? And he's like, yeah, dude, that's how I got in. I'm just like, all right. So this perfect dude, genius. Cut to 2 years later, Eli and I and my girlfriend in college, Natalie, are in Denver, Colorado. We're going to a concert at Red Rocks.
Yeah.
And it's like Ween and Galactic and Tenacious D. And so we're going to see Tenacious D. And we get to Red Rocks and we're like maybe the fifth people in line to get into the concert. And fucking Colin is first person in line. He's just got a big, huge duffel bag with him full of drugs and shit. So he sees me. He's like, oh shit, what's up, man? I'm like, Colin, how are you, man? And Eli's like, oh yeah, hey man, I remember you. And he's like, oh yeah, no, I remember you. And Eli's like, do you? And he's like, yeah, man, I definitely do. we had I think we had philosophy class, and Eli's like, that is 100% not true. And he's like, oh shit, well, I know this bitch for sure. And I'm just like, you definitely know this bitch for sure, Colin. And so we're hanging out, and we smoke some pot with him, and then he's like, dude, I'm so glad you're here. You guys can drive me back to Santa Fe. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, not going there, buddy.
And he's like, why not? And I go, dude, I haven't gone to school there for 2 years. He's like, what? What do you mean? I go, what I mean is I dropped out of that school and I go to a different college now. He's like, nah, bitch, I saw you last semester. I'm like, nope, not yeah, true
no,
at all.
No, you didn't.
But just so
fucking moved on.
And then I remember they opened up the doors to the concert and the security guard's checking, and he just opens up his bag and he just goes, dude, there's nothing in here but drugs. And he's like, oh shit, sorry, dude. Is that a problem? Guess like you literally can't bring a duffel bag of drugs into the concert. I don't even have a car, bro. And he's like, I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't think I can let you in with this. And he's like, what if I give you drugs? And the guy's like, all right, you can go in then.
Really? Then, just yeah. Out in the open like that? Then fuck, man.
He gave him like, I think he gave him probably a big old like half an ounce of pot or something. And the security guard's just like, all right, go ahead. Go for it.
What kind of drugs are we talking about? He's got a duffel bag full of what? Just weed? Or does he have psychedelics?
I think he probably had like maybe a pound or 2 pounds of pot and then maybe like a pound of mushrooms, I want to say. I know he had weed and mushrooms. That's all I remember. Because he asked us a bunch of times if we wanted some and we were like, no, man, we got to drive back after this to Kansas. So I'm not going to eat a bunch of mushrooms.
Maybe
acid. I don't honestly remember. I just remember he had a bunch of shit that I couldn't take since I had to drive back to Kansas that night. But yeah, security guard just let him in. He didn't care. I never saw him again after that. So who knows if he ever made it back to Santa Fe or, you know, to the morning. He might have OD'd at the Red Rocks that night. I don't know.
Well, it'd be impressive. I mean, you have to. I can't even fathom how much it would take to OD on those. I mean, acid, just because you have no fucking clue what that's cut with.
Yeah.
But the mushrooms, it would stop at some point. Your body just would not take them in anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I maybe 4 months after I moved to LA, these dudes I knew who were like, I met them in the restaurant I worked in. They were like my closest friends in Manhattan Beach. Back my first year in LA, they grew mushrooms. Okay. And one night, like we went out to Palm Springs and ate some mushrooms and it was fun. Mm-hmm. And then, I want to say like over Christmas that year, we were hanging out at their house. They rented a house, right? Like 2 or 3 blocks from the beach. They were like, one night a discussion came up like, hey, do you think you could eat a quarter of mushrooms, a quarter ounce of mushrooms. One of them asked the other one. They were like, no way. And I was like, what? And you could do that. And the guy was like, I don't think so, man. I trip so hard when I eat an eighth of mushrooms. And I'm like, dude, I could eat a quarter. I mean, I'd be fucked up, but I could do it. And one of them was like, all right, you want to try it? I was like, sure. So these dudes gave me a quarter of mushrooms and they crushed them up and put them in pills so I could just swallow them real easy.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, all right, whatever. So I sat there with him. I watched him weigh it out. I watched him grind it in a grinder, put them in these little capsules, gave them to me. I swallowed a quarter. And about half an hour later, they're like, you feeling it? I'm like, yeah, I'm starting to feel it. Then maybe 45 minutes after I ate them, we were watching SportsCenter, and the TV I'm watching literally looked like it shot back like 200-300 yards and then shot straight back at me. I was like, whoa. Yeah. They're like, are you feeling all right? I'm like, I am fucking feeling it, man. You guys might be right. This might be too much. they all start laughing. We're sitting there. And then next thing I know, I woke up and I'm looking around and there's no one else there. I'm just laying on the couch in the living room. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Wide awake?
I mean, I was wide awake. I was not tripping or anything. And I remember opening the blinds on the window. And when I ate them, it was like 8 o'clock at night.
Okay.
In December. So pitch blackout.
Yeah. It's been dark since 5:15.
Yeah. And so I remember opening the, they had like shutter blinds, and I remember opening it and it just being bright as fuck out. And I was like, this is not what I remember it being.
Yeah.
I remember walking over and looking at the fucking clock on the, in the kitchen, and it was like 4 PM or something. And I was just like, whoa. And so, yeah, I literally passed out. They said at like 9:30 or 10 o'clock, they said, I got up and I walked into the bathroom and I threw up. And then I came back and I sat down on the couch and then I laid down, and they were like, are you all right? And I was like, I just need to close my eyes. And that was the last thing I
remember. Yeah. Your body just shut down.
It did. It just shut down. And then, 16 hours passed or something before I woke up, realized what was going on.
Yeah. The most I've ever taken is an 8. I've done it a few times, but
that's what that was like the standard amount I would take. And I usually wouldn't even take it all at once. I would take it in a couple of different.
And now it's too potent. I did some not too long ago and I didn't have to take all that much. Had a nice, you know, a nice, easy, nothing too intense for like 6-7 hours. And it was done. It was like, that was easy breezy. But I mean, it did not have to take all that much. But yeah, I can't imagine a quarter.
It was a terrible plan. I just remember thinking like, you know what? I remember tripping balls on an 8th, but twice that couldn't be that big of a deal. But my brain just was like, we're sleeping this one out. So,
well, there are certain moments where, you know, you're not sure what reality on some level you're in, because you get lost in your own thoughts or whatnot. Especially, I've been in group dynamics before where suddenly I come back and the conversation is unlike anything I recall. So it's just like, well, how long was I away? And now I feel like, what the fuck is kind of going on? And your brain is racing type of thing, trying to, it's just too much stimulus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done mushrooms, done acid. I did mescaline once.
Really? What was that like?
That's
like, it's like chemical peyote, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's the synthesized version of peyote, but it was like just this tiny little orangish pill, if memory serves, but it was tiny. It just popped it right in. It was kind of a, if memory serves, cause this was 2 decades ago.
Yeah.
Like mushrooms in most ways, but with the certain amplified aspects that you would get from acid.
Right. So,
like, you know, sometimes there's, you know, kush pot that's, oh, it's, you know, the parent plants are 70% indica and 30% sativa or whatever.
Right.
It was kind of like that. It was mostly mushrooms with like a flavor of what you reminded of acid. But I've only done it the once, so who knows? Maybe that was a weird version of it, or maybe it's more like, I have no idea. But I'd do it again. It was fun.
That shit's crazy. I don't think I would ever do any of those. I would never even do mushrooms again, I don't think.
I have no problem with that. Because, you know, I don't drink anymore. That to me is, I don't want to do anything where I lose control. So yeah. I'm not going to lose control on any of those things. So I'm fine with, you know, at this point, doing mushrooms once in a very blue moon type of thing.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I never did mescaline, but I don't think I'd want to do that stuff anymore.
I didn't do any narcotics. I knew I'd like them, so I just chose not to.
Yeah. I don't think any of that stuff would be, if I was in college, like, you know, when I was young, I was probably would have been willing to try most things, but at this point, I just think it's too much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the ship has sailed.
Yeah. It's exactly how I look at it. It's just like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. If I haven't done, I mean, I don't mind the mushrooms or doing those, you know, whatever once a year, once every 2 years type of thing. But like cocaine or something, if there was a time I was going to do that, that was years ago. So there's no, literally no point now. It doesn't make any sense.
Which is, I remember
drink, so I'm just going to be stone cold sober and be like, I'm going to do a line. For what reason?
Yeah, I remember being like 25, hanging out at the Comedy Store in like Marino, being on coke or, you know, on acid and stuff, and just being like, this dude is almost 40. What is he doing? And now I would just be that guy who's almost 40 doing that stuff. So.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, people in that age range still doing shit that you should have grown past this a long time ago, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this is now defining who you are, because you're not going to stop at this point. It's been 20 years of this shit.
Yeah, I remember going with some guys. Like, there was this dude that, like, Danish O'Neill and I started with. And I remember he had a party one time, and he was at the Comedy Store. I was working, I think. And he was like, oh, when you're done, come over. I'm having a party. I'm like, all right. I got off working probably like 1 a.m.
Sure.
So I'm like, and so I went over, headed over to this dude's place, and there was maybe like 25 people over there. It's probably 10 chicks and maybe like 15 dudes, and a bunch of them were doing lines. And I just remember being like, I have to fucking get up and work at a restaurant tomorrow at like 10 a.m. or something. So I didn't do any of that. I smoked some pot or smoked a joint or something. And there's this British dude there, and he had to be 60 or something. And he was doing, I think he was the guy who brought the coke, if I remember correctly.
Sounds about right.
He just kept doing line after line, and, you know, he was trying to get all the girls to do coke with him, and a bunch of them were, I guess. But I remember him being like, you don't want some? And I was like, no, man, I don't think now is the time to be delving into that. He was like, I don't even get high anymore. It just keeps me regular. And I remember being like, pretty sweet life, bro. Pretty sweet.
Exactly. Life. And the only way that you can lure women into fucking probably, you know, close to a rape like situation is luring them with free stepped on cocaine.
Yeah. And I remember he was like, he sold women's clothing or something. That's why he was in LA. And because he lived in England, but I remember him just being like, you'd be a great salesman, mate. And I'd be like, okay, sounds good, man.
Is this the guy that thinks you're the warmest person in the world? Because I couldn't think of a worse salesman person. So is this the guy? Did we find, we located the guy?
We figured it out.
Guy.
This is the dude who just sees clearly all things in the world.
Well, he'd be what, in his 70s at this point? You think he's still doing coke?
Fuck. I mean, probably. It's hard for me to picture this guy being alive, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you never know.
Party lifestyle for this long.
Yeah, he made it. He made it to mid 60s. So.
That's pretty impressive.
I do remember smoking him out because he was like, I need to chill out. Let me smoke some pot. And I smoked some pot and he was like, mate, this shit's too strong. You're fucking me up. I just remember being like, bro, I just watched you do like 7 lines of coke. I don't think the issue is probably that my pot is too strong.
I mean, what if he never smokes pot? Highly unlikely. But if he never smokes pot and his body is just kind of immune to this mass amount of cocaine. So a new drug on top of that is so foreign that the body just doesn't have a defense. It's used to cocaine.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, I don't know.
I find it suspect as well. Somebody did fucking does thunder bumps at his age. He's been doing them for who knows how long. You know, he could have gotten Escobar's first fucking shipment.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I just remember, like, I remember him telling a story, and who knows if it's true, because, again, he was trying to impress chicks, but, like, 25-year-old chicks as a 65-year-old. But
who,
I remember
Who has cocaine, though? So
yeah. I remember him telling us about how he saw the Doors at the Whiskey A Go Go, and when they were the house band, and that was his first time in LA, and all these stories. I'm just like, okay, man, but my pot is way too strong for you. Okay.
Well, it sounds like he is the previous generation's one man double team, you know?
Very possible. Definitely a possibility. Well,
still though, how many people have you met in this town that start telling you, look at Zapp. Zapp was on the practice squad for the Raiders, and he was also a this, and he was a that, and you talk to him for long enough, the guy has intersected with just about every famous person from a specific era. It's like, wow, that is really amazing.
It, most importantly, his grossest brag, he fucked Janis Joplin in the spotlight. What's it called? Yeah, he was doing the spotlight at a Three Dog Night concert.
And, okay.
Janis Joplin came up and fucked him in the catwalk where he was doing the spotlight work.
Fuck yeah. Dude, if you're going to basically regale your stories in the hopes that future generations take note, that's a good one. Because who doesn't look up in the rigging and the pitch black, and even if you try and glance in their direction, they have a bright light shining back at you and go, that's the dude that I am going to fuck right there. The nameless rapist in the fucking shadows over there.
Oh, lucky girl. That's all I can say.
Well, I'll probably end up, since this is one of the last things we'll talk about, just title this one Zapp Attack. Yep. Job is done for this week. People be like, why the fuck is it called that? And it gets to this final tiny little, however long we go here at the end. So we've been going for a while. It's like, yeah, we eventually got this Johnny Zapp. Anytime Zapp comes up, basically he is the human equivalent of 69. The game has been won. Just pack it up and go home because you've been Zapp.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Johnny Zapp having sex is the equivalent of going 0-69 in any sporting event whatsoever.
Well, he is the type of dude, even at his advanced age, would still give you a high five because 69 was said.
True.
All right. And like, okay, Zapp.
He just posted on my Facebook 2 days ago. It's like, man, I miss you so much. How come you never call me back?
Does he actually have your number? Are you getting messages?
Yeah, I've never gotten. The last time I had a message from Johnny Zapp was when I was in the hospital for diabetes.
Okay.
And I think it's the same phone number. I can't remember if that was before or after I switched to my current phone number, but maybe that was my old phone number. But he left me a message. When I got out of the hospital, I had 4 messages on my phone from him. And the first one was like, hey, man, I heard you're sick. Call me. And then the next one was, I'm at the Comedy Store. Someone just told me that you're dying of cancer. Give me a call. And then the next one was, hey, man, great news. Heard it's just diabetes. Congrats. Give me a call. And then the last one was, hey, this diabetes could be a blessing. I mean, you could probably just do a solid hour on being the diabetic comic. I mean, that's a gimmick that sells. Give me a call.
Hey, he's looking out for you, dude. I can't say that about Johnny Zapp. A, he's never tried to call me, and B, well, we don't have more than likely the rich history the two of you have. I was sure. The poor guy up here, so I wasn't forced to be around him for 8 hours at a time.
What a piece of shit that guy has always been.
I have
either way. He's trying to put a show together. Trying to put a show together up in Lancaster. If you want, I'll put your name into the hat.
Please do. Please do. Let him know that I'm available. Is it a 6-foot social distancing show?
Well, he didn't give me the details, but I assume that you'll probably be the only person there. So it seems like it's probably going to follow the guidelines.
But you do get a sandwich and a free pitcher of beer. So if you want to drive up to Lancaster.
Not free, but probably half off on that pitcher.
No gas money, though. We don't pay you at all. I haven't done one of those shows in forever. Hey, you want to drive 2.5 hours to do this terrible bar show? You get a drink ticket. All right.
I mean, I haven't done one in decades, but when I first moved out here, I did plenty of those, usually with wheels for, you know, spaghetti dinner or something ridiculous.
Yeah. I know. Too many of those shows to fucking, maybe we'll save that for a future episode.
Yeah.
Once again, Zap Attack closes out, so we're at $1.45. I think we've fulfilled our contractual obligation for this week.
Yep. Stay at home. They get those extra couple minutes just to get them through this tough time in life.
Yeah. Well, anybody that wants to, you can follow me at Matt Nost.
I'm at Rick Ingram everywhere.
Yeah. Wherever you want to find us, that's where you can find us. I think that's it, my friend, for this week.
Yep.
All right. That's enough, Hayden. Thanks for tuning in this week. I'll embrace the hate. I can't even fucking talk. Adios.
Peace.